This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. Hey, thanks for listening. So glad to have you here. Now, you know, we continue to share insights and wisdom through the voices of service aftermarket leaders. Now, these are your peers sharing their experience with you. Hey, don't forget my website, remarkableresults.biz, contains over 1,000 archived episodes. Now, search any topic on the website that you may be interested in and start to elevate yourself and your business. You know, opening an additional location is a lot of hard work and can be challenging with twists and turns before the grand opening even happens. Now, learn from three shop owners who have multiple locations and their strategy to drive business to their new locations. They offer up their ups and downs, what worked and what didn't. Now, many of you know that the real work starts way, way before the doors open. And thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing this episode. And when was the last time you heard a customer say, "Thank you for taking my money"? Well, get Shopware's shop management software and your customer will be shouting it from the rooftops in overwhelming five-star reviews. Learn more on the web, getshopware.com. Tell them Carm sent you. Hey, running a busy shop can be a challenge. You know, with Broadly's web chat feature, you can respond to a customer's question right on your phone, anywhere, anytime. Be in touch with your customer inquiries on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, improve the professionalism of our industry. Recommend this podcast to your peers. I have so much fun doing this, and we actually do so many things to advance the automotive aftermarket. So I'm so glad you're here. We have a great crew today. In fact, if hanging around, you know, in backstage before we go live is any indication of the kind of show we're going to have today, we're going to have a really fun time. Kevin Saeed is here, the owner of 8 Location Integrity First Automotive in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Kevin, glad to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me, Carm.
Do you think he may have an idea of how to grow sales in a new location?
Just a little bit.
I bet you. Carl Hutchinson from Complete Automotive in Springfield, Missouri, and recently location number 2.
Yes, jumped into the multi-shop groups with all the other crazies.
Now, was it because your friends did it, or did you think it was the right thing to do?
Oh, that's a topic for another show. You know, you get around great people, and they just pull you along.
Amazing, honest answer. Thank you very much. Kenny Wedow is with us from Fine Tuned Auto, 2 locations, Broomfield and Erie, Colorado. Hey Kenny.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Kenny's got an interesting story, Carl. I mean, I've done shows with all these guys, right? And if you want to find out some really deep detail on Store 2 with Carl and Store 2 with Kenny, go to my website, type in Carl Hutchinson or Kenny Wedow, and I'm telling you guys, they're really cool stories. We got a full-blown tour of cutting the concrete at Carl's place, and Kenny took over an existing, was it a Firestone?
It was a Great American Tire.
A Great American Tire, but it was abandoned for what, 8, 9, 10 years?
15 years.
15 years. And we saw how he actually turned that place into show place. And Kevin, you just, what, every month you put on a new store?
Well, I wish. That's the plan. But we're trying to do 2 to 3 at this very time, 2 to 3 every year. Yes, sir.
2 to 3 every year. So an awful lot of business intelligence and acumen here with you. Expansion. Careful. Get good advice. Have some financial footing, some great financial strength, actually, in my mind. Have your team support you. I'm not telling you guys nothing that you don't know, but I also think that I was talking to a bunch of guys the other day, and they says, stop growing just because your buddy's doing it. And then, you know, make sure you've got your team support, that you've got team depth, and so much more. I mean, we can go a laundry list of things, but careful for expansion and then growing sales, which I think since the trend I see is growing to store 2 and 3 and 4, and in Kevin's case, many, many more, you do it, you work your butt off, and then you hope that maybe the business that you bought had the kind of reputation, but you would know, was it the right location, the right market? Did I do the demographics? Did I actually sit down and plan with my social media people, the marketing tools, and you know, are there mailers, are there giveaways? How involved am I going to be in my community? All of those tools. And I thought we'd have my panel up here to talk about a lot of that stuff and get some great advice. So, Kevin, let's start with you. I mean, I think you want that customer to walk in and say, we're going to learn to trust me, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trust is pretty much everything, Carm. So customers, the good thing about opening a new location is that everybody likes to try new. I'm not really sure about gentlemen and other towns, but in DFW, it's a growing market. It's fast. It's growing like one of the fastest growing market that there is in the whole U.S. And we have a lot of people moving in. And what that does, it creates these opportunities. Every time I open a new store, those people like to try us at least once. And I tell my guys, they'll come to you once, give them a reason to come back to you. Mm-hmm. How does that start? That starts from building trust. Hence, I always tell my team, and we always educate them on not actually selling anything, but not doing transactions, but building customers for life. And how does that start? That starts in a way where you treat everyone walking through like your mother, daughter, sister, father, and educating them. So that is what we train our guys on. Do not see them just as a dollar sign. They're coming to you not by choice. They're already not very happy. So make their day better. How can you do so? And this is really, that ideology has really helped us grow and get customers. I always tell them wholeheartedly, because if you fake it, they'll know it.
Yeah.
So from the bottom of your heart, take care of them. And you're lucky to be in the field where you're actually able to help people. I mean, make sure it's good for your soul as well.
I think there's something that he said that's worth repeating, and that is you'll try it for the first time. I think everyone here can put themselves into the shoes of the customer when we have tried a new restaurant out in town. And here we are, loyal to a certain place that we would go. Maybe it's local and hardworking business people. And all of a sudden, there's a place down the road. It could be a national chain. It could be something. And we say, you know, just for the heck of it, you know, I'm hungry. You're hungry three times a day or more, right? Let's give this a try. And if they're smart, they're going to do everything that they could possibly do. Everything. And then if they grow their business to that point, then they have to make sure that the plates are full, the service is great, the place is clean, the drinks are poured heavy. I mean, go down the list, right? If you put yourself in that position of have you ever showed disloyalty to a favorite restaurant? Well, God, you don't want your customers to leave you for that. And that's that stickiness that we talk about in that, that constant retention piece. So thank you for bringing that up. And I tossed that out as possibly a talking topic for anyone here.
No, I think Kevin's exactly right. You know, it's one of those things, I think all of us can make the phone ring. Making the phone ring is not hard. It's what happens when the phone rings and they start building that rapport just immediately and getting to know that customer, not just to get them in to make the appointment, but to really ask them the where's and the why's of why they're calling and how can they help them. And there's so many things that go on to it. You know, it's the marketing part of it is just one aspect. But if you don't have a person that's trained answering the phone and that cares, it all negates it. It negates everything. So yeah, Kevin's dead on with, you got to have people there. The place has got to look good, got to smell good, that kind of thing. I mean, those are just must haves anymore.
Yeah. It seems important to set the standard when you come in, and we have a lot of customers that call my main shop or my original location. And then, you know, we may be backed up over there. So we send them over to the second location. And so we want to have them to have the same experience that they're used to, you know, as they're trying out our new shop, you know, because our one shop's backed up a week or whatever that is. So it's important to have consistency and certain systems in place to be able to provide the same level of service that we always have.
So, Carl, let's talk about one of the key things of expansion, and that is location, location, location. I know that we've chatted about that before, but shouldn't location, location, location already be a given? And because part of your marketing strategy would be location, location, location.
Well, I think it's easier for the second, fourth, fifth, or tenth. I don't know. I'm going to ride on Kevin's coattails here on this one, but. You know, our first location had a horrible location, honestly. And even when we moved, we bought a facility that had great visibility, but it was a little bit hard to get to actually get in the parking lot. So our location's great, but it's always one of those things. We use it as a marketing tool. Hey, once you find us, you'll never forget. So we had to have fun with it. But when it came to our second location, we got real picky. I mean, it's like, well, if I'm going to go start something up from nothing, the location's got to be number one. I mean, we had to have high visibility, high traffic, you know, at least a place that we could make it shine and make it look good. So to me, I had a lot of opportunities to buy a lot of things that were really good deals. But man, I don't think I could have marketed my way into them. I don't think I could have drugged people to them just for the simple fact it took three turns and you got to go behind a building and whatever. And those were just not good things. So honestly, location is part of the marketing part of it. It's got to be accessible.
And Carl, I agree and I disagree. And it's very interesting when I saw location, location, location. So, I agree in the sense that, yes, it helps if you don't want a distraction. And I'll tell you what I mean by distraction.
Oh, yes. I get that. Yeah, yeah. I'm
right,
with you.
Right. Yeah. So when you're opening a first or a second location, location doesn't matter as, to me, never mattered. So mine was very much the same, just like Carl's location. If you can find us, you'll never forget. And I love what you just said. And it was a good location, but it was tucked back. And it was in a little small connecting road that was connecting two major arteries. And anyhow, four managements had changed when I took over this place. Four managements within 2 years.
Wow.
We went in, and I kid you not, Carm, within 2 weeks, because I opened on the 15th, September 15th, I believe. Within 2 weeks, we did double what they had done in a month. That's what we did. Anyhow, it was because I was there. I was doing customer service. I was doing everything. I mean, wearing all the hats, just like we all do. The second location, pretty much the same. But after the second, and this is where Kenny and Carl would really love what I'm about to say, that I realized for the third one, the distraction, by distraction, I mean the shop that I really have to give my time to wasn't the best idea. So had I had a good location, customers would come to you even more and more easier for them to find where you're at. And you really wouldn't have to worry about that advertisement and really wouldn't have to worry about their convenience. So yes, once you're scaling, you want to make sure location is good, because trust me, you're going to be struggling with that quite a lot. And I learned that the hard way from my fourth location, that's actually tucked all the way in the back of a little shopping center.
Yeah, that's great advice. I was really hoping you weren't leading me down the wrong path there, Kevin. No. And made me feel bad about my choices. But that is one of the things. We market less for the second location than we do for the first. But also, we're not that far apart. We're only about 7 or 8 miles apart.
Yeah, same here.
And we have a reputation, and we already have a process going. So it's feeding off of... But yeah, we don't have to drag people to the second location, because there's thousands of cars driving by every day. I will say one thing about the distraction, though, is now that we're easier, the distractions that we see are, hey, can you do a state inspection real quick? Or, hey, I've got a tire that's flat. Or, hey, I mean, it's just these really, I hate to say time suckers, but now that we're easy, that stuff's easy. Our first shop is like, well, if I have to make three turns to get there,
right, I'll go somewhere else.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And at my new location, we get a ton of walk-in, yes. You know,
people because we're on a major road that's got 45,000 cars a day going past it in an area that's got, you know, it's pretty high, high average household medium income. It's been really interesting to see the differences because we'll start out, you know, our schedule on a week and we won't have a very busy week. And then all of a sudden it just fills in with, you know, walk-in oil changes. I mean, I bet that we probably do twice the amount of walk-in oil changes at shop two that we do at shop one. Mm-hmm. And location to me has been really huge because this year we're going to exceed our, we're going to match our sales that took me and my other location, you know, 4 or 5 years to get to that point. So, right. You know, it's been a huge difference.
How long have you been open there, Kenny?
My original location has been open for 8 years and the new one I opened up in March.
In March. And that's where we're talking about a lot more oil changes than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's always that way. Yep.
That's right.
Because they want to give you a chance.
Right. They give you that test.
Yeah.
That's the test. That's the test. Hey, guys, thank you for this discussion on growth and for you, Kevin, saying confession about your fourth location. And what just prompts me really quickly is you broke your stride on location four, but then you went back in 5, 6, 7, and 8 to making sure the location was prime.
Yes, Carm. It was a little tough because I've realized I tried a few different crew members, pretty strong, and one or two of them seasoned store managers as well at the store, and told them, and I knew if anyone, those are the guys who will make this location run really good. And we've realized at the end of the day, whatever we were inputting, we weren't really getting that. We weren't getting back that output for it. So that's hence I call that distraction, really putting so much into it and still getting very mediocre results. So then I knew, okay, it is the location. And as much as I told my guys that I never want to hear that word location, I knew deep within it was the location.
I think it would work for a specialty thing. I mean, we got a couple of specialty things that we're rolling around and trying to decide whether we want to do or not. But I think those would work in the off the beaten path. But if we're doing general service, the meat, potatoes, whatever you want to call it, kind of work, I think the location has to be there. But, you know, when we were talking about the talking points earlier, I totally forgot about some of the great people that we have doing our stuff, some of our social media stuff and our website. And man, I couldn't believe I forgot all that stuff, but that is a huge necessity.
Carm here, and coming up, find out why it's important to look outside of the automotive industry for ideas and insights. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full-service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. You know auto shops with tons of five-star reviews, and that doesn't happen overnight. There's actually a strategy to getting all of those positive reviews. Now, Broadly knows how to do it because they are the experts at improving your web presence and increasing your number of five-star Google reviews. There's an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. Now, do you know when? Well, Broadly knows the best time to ask for a review is immediately after service. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied your customer's need for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Now, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Thank you for this. I think this was a really healthy discussion, but let's talk about, okay, what are we going to do as far as marketing and internet and direct mail? And Kenny, I think you're a gambler because you love poker chips. He loves poker chips.
You know, one of the things that we did is we created a poker chip, and I have one here I'm going to show you guys, but we did created a poker chip, and we did a lot of grassroots marketing. So we're in a plaza, supermarket plaza. So we went around to all the local businesses before we opened and said, hey, you know, we're going to open up soon, and here's a free oil change. And my original one for my original location was just a single phone number on the back and my logo. And then my new one, we just kind of did a redesign on it, and we added both locations on the back. Basically good at either location. So it's really worked out good because it's gotten people to come in the door and try us. No small fine print there. You know, just come on in, bring this in, and we'll take care of you, and we're going to give you the service and, you know, show you how we're different with digital inspections and things like that. So,
Kenny, how are you giving them out?
We usually give them out to people that, you know, like I said, we walked around, we did that, and then we're getting ready to do a campaign starting December, and everybody that comes in either location in December is going to get a coffee mug, a lens wipe, a tire pressure gauge, and then 1 in 10 of the mugs is going to have a free oil change on it as well. So I've got 500 coffee mugs at my shop right now getting ready to go out. So,
oh,
yeah. So
the good old swag bag.
That's right. That's right.
The good old swag bag. Yeah.
So if you're out in the community, do you have a pocket full of the poker chips?
Yeah, I usually carry a couple. If I'm at a local restaurant, I may give it to the server. You know, we'll talk to them. The other night we had our manager's meeting, and we're sitting in the booth talking about, you know, kind of where we're at, where we're trying to go with both the shops. And the booth next to us, the guy said, hey, you know, what do you guys do? And we told him, and then we handed him one. And so they'll be in with their electrical vehicle. They have a electrical contracting company. They're going to come in for an oil change and service and stuff. So it's good.
You know what I love about that? It's got instant pocket marketing.
Well, and it's different, right? It's not just the normal. It's unique. And so customers will hang on to it. And I actually had one that broke, and there's actually metal inside, which is weird. But wow. There's some weight to them, so they feel substantial enough to where people hang on to them.
That's a pretty cool idea. I mean, we just got the little business card, gift card.
That's the generic,
things.
Right? This is a different deal.
So, yeah, I like that. It's a little different, and it's something that they're not going to necessarily just throw away. I mean,
right.
If they throw it on their desk or something, it's unique. I like that.
Yeah, I had a local guy do it for me.
Carl, you invested in your building. Great signage, beautiful windows. I mean, we actually watched it go up in a couple of our episodes here. Critically important to make sure you look as professional as you can.
Oh yeah, I think the outside of it has to say that you're professional first. I think everything goes along with it. You know, the paint, signage, uniforms, dress, how people dress, hygiene, all that stuff. I hate to say that, but it's true. I think you have to look professional first. You'll win more people over with the idea that you just look the part. If you look the part, you are the part. And, you know, there's some forgiveness there if you can't do something on a timely manner, or God forbid you scratch their car or whatever happens in this industry. But if you look the part, I think it's huge. And yeah, we had the opportunity to take a building and really polish it up and make it almost have a wow factor to it compared to what it was. I mean, it's so much more inviting now. And that's about everybody that has been there. I get the, wow, you really did a good job. Or, man, I love this about it. Or I love that about it. And, you know, that's what we were after. You know, it's nice to have that ability or the time to do it on shop number two. Shop number one, we didn't. It was just like, we got to get cars in here and go.
Right.
I mean, we got to make money. And, you know, shop two was a little different. So we got to be able to put the paint and polish to it and really do a nice job. So, but I think that's a wow factor, and people got to be able to see it. You know, it's got to be bright and shiny and lit up and that kind of thing. So
I'm with Carl on that one. That's the icebreaker, right? That's when the customers come in and like, wow, look at this place. I used to come to this place and it looks totally different. So those compliments that start rolling in, that's the icebreaker. Mm-hmm. And there you go. Basically, once you're in their trust circle, now it's easier for you to educate the customers.
Right.
So I'm totally with him. I do exactly the same. We totally remodel everything from outside to inside, and that works great for us.
What is so great about this last 5 minutes of discussion, this first impression thing, Kevin, Carl, you guys are all into that.
Right.
Is we're here to talk about growing sales for a new location and the impact of first impressions. Guys, where do you weight that? Where's it weighted?
Super high. Almost number one.
Yeah.
I think it, I mean, really, yeah. And you can't say it's just the signage or just how they answer the phone or just the postcard they got in the mail or whatever. I think it's all of it. I honestly think it's all of it. Everything has to have your A game going. I know every time that we make a mistake or do something that is not our A game as far as marketing, advertising, and customer relations, man, it comes back to get us. I mean, every misspelled word or we didn't quite answer the phone correctly and, you know, just whatever. And it shows up real fast. So it's huge. That first impression to us is huge.
I want to thank Clint White for hanging out with us. He had a great comment. People know the way you treat your building will be the way you treat their vehicle.
That's perfect. Wow. Yeah.
Love that. 100%. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Clint. That's a big takeaway. Hey, why does every Town Hall Academy every week bring so much value to the industry? Because you guys love to come on and share your wisdom. And I so appreciate that. Now, there's some things that we didn't talk about yet, spending money on maybe Google AdWords, some social media, some direct mail. And those would be necessarily the things that everybody puts on their checkbox.
Right.
But the things that a lot of the stuff that we talked about before is almost, is the relationship, is the trust. It's the soft stuff that's so critical. It's the customer relationships. It's the building. It's the signage. It's the look. Now, let me see, how can I drag some people through the door? So let's talk about that.
I think it's really funny. I look back at our first business plan that we put together in 2008, and my marketing budget was the yellow pages. that was it. That was our total marketing budget, and I had to come up with pocket money to make that happen. So. And now I don't even want to talk about what the marketing budget is now. And I can only imagine what somebody with mini shops is. But yeah, I think all those other things that you mentioned are, I don't want to call them givens, but I think you have to have them. And we start talking about direct mail. I actually dropped direct mail 2 years ago completely, just cold turkeyed it. And I actually saw a tick up in business instead of a tick down. But with Shop 2, we knew we were not touching enough people quickly enough. So we jumped back into the direct mail part of it. But there's so many things now. Yeah, you know, Google Ads and geofencing and guerrilla marketing and, you know, just like what Kenny's doing. I love what Kenny's doing. Yeah, I think those other things are just, like you said, they're must-haves. I don't think you can do much without doing all of that stuff, having a great website and all that stuff.
Kevin, with eight locations, does the scale of your eight locations predicate you for not spending money on direct mail geofencing because now you put them all in this huge basket?
That's a great question. Carm, yes. So the answer is yes. Once you grow, and I was listening and I always relate back to when I was one or two, three shop operator, and I can so relate with Carl and Kenny with those things. I did all of that stuff. First of all, you got to know where you're at. So this would be great for the listeners. First, you need to know where you're at. Who's your clientele? If it's one of the small towns, you want to do the paper direct mail. That is what you want to do because they still go through all that. They may not even have Facebook and their kids may be off to another town. So you got to know where you're at. We're here in DFW, Dallas, Fort Worth, and everything is very modernized. Everybody's moving. We're getting transplants from California, Chicago. So they're very people who are more on social reason. I would say, yes, you got to know which advertisement would speak to which clientele. And we have started doing, I'm going to tell you guys something great. We do a lot of actually check back on everything that we do. Everything that we do source checkup upon those things as well. So we force our guys to put source in. I mean, are they doing it 100%? I wish they did, but it is very important for us. And we tell them, you guys work so hard to make that dollar for your shop. We want to make sure you tell us where to spend your advertisement money. So make sure you put the source in. Make sure you put the source in. Do not just put drive-by. And with that, we don't really rely on ad pages or Google or whoever it may be to tell us how we did on that campaign. We check ourselves how we did. And it tells us, and believe it or not, some shops do better at certain platforms than the other platforms. Back to your original question, once you have a certain amount of shops, I've noticed one thing. The older shops, we don't have to do advertisement as much as we used to. So once you have a book of business, all you need to worry about is retention. That's what you need to worry about. What is year after year retention? How could you actually block those holes that I call? How could you stop from the water to leak out of that bucket? And those holes could be anything: bad customer service, image, not fixing the cars proper, over-promising, under-delivering, whatever it may be. So retention is what matters after a while. But at first, I would say, kind of like what Carl said, well, Kenny said, go to the neighborhood. We do exactly the same. We go to our neighbors. That's the first thing we do. And we tell them, we're coming here. Matter of fact, I do that even before I buy a shop, just to figure out if I want to be there. So then you start from within and you kind of expand outward. And that's what it is.
So having a good CRM, a customer management retention relationship program, and having everyone in there, you can do a lot with that, right?
Oh, 100%. I'm going to blow your mind on this one. So we have our own CRM system, gentlemen.
Fantastic. So,
yes. I got to give credit to my team. Great guys from very unrelated industry. So we built our own and we realized CRM is huge. You better have CRM. You want to send... We send texts, we send emails to all the customers, something great just to let you know, to make it more personalized. Have your team's picture on it. All our text messages and our emails have the whole team's picture, and it says, have we earned your trust today, when they leave? And that is something great. That's where we start from. And then we send constant reminders. Then we send happy birthdays, just so you know. And so on and so forth. So, I mean, I can go on and on, but having a strong CRM is the most important thing once you get that customer through.
You've said that really well. And, you know, I think we're all sitting here drooling about going, oh, wow, I'd like to have enough people on staff to do that. So I guess I got to get to 7 or 8 stores to do right. that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it wouldn't really make any financial sense. For now, go with some good name. Right. I'm sure Carm can probably tell you about some of those as well. There are a few really great ones, but...
We just had this conversation last night with some actually dealership guys about the changes that's coming down the pike for the dealership. And the Stone Age and the New Age, you know, they're really getting hammered right now with this chip shortage.
And I agree. I always tell everyone, if you go to if you join a gymnasium, make sure you go with someone who's stronger than you. He may not be benefiting from you, but you will definitely benefit right. from him. And I for do sure. the same. I do a lot of networking, and I go to guys who have a lot more stores than I do. Not only that, you know, something that I've done, Carl, Kenny, and to the audiences who are listening, I actually go and see all the different industries and see why do people, matter of fact, even before that, colleges, universities, why do students go to certain trades? Why do they go, why do they choose certain, what is the word I'm looking for? So certain career paths. Why do they choose those things? What is the reason? So now that I go to that industry, see what do they provide better? And then I try to adhere that to our industry. How could I do that? And that's where it all starts from as far as that's concerned. Now, with that said, we're talking about growing sales. To me, it's all about focusing on the relationship, not transaction. That's mm-hmm. one of the biggest thing that I talked about earlier. Right. Knowing your surroundings, where you're going, who your customers are. Image plays a whole, a mm-hmm. big role. And I know we all talked about it. Right. Something... That's right. So from our research, it shows majority of our clientele is females anyhow. Mm-hmm. And we try to have female-friendly lobbies. That's how we that's what we call them. And what is that? Firstly, try to have a female behind the desk as well, if possible. If not,
bingo.
Yeah,
bingo. That's huge. Yep. And we have fresh flowers at both of our shops as well.
Yep. Excellent. Yep. And then I have the guys who are standing behind the desk, where we train them how to speak with females, because if you talk too much, they would think that you're trying to get a one above them, one over them. So about having the female-friendly lobbies, what do I mean by that is basically telling the guy standing behind the desk just to be very mindful, because they already do not know what you're talking about. Slow down a little bit. Take your time. Don't even wait for, don't call them to the desk. Something great that we do, I tell my guys to walk out to the lobby, go sit next to them.
Right.
COVID has changed that a little bit. Now I tell them, keep a little bit distance. Go sit with them and educate them, tell them. And then tell them, hey, if you want me to speak with anyone that you'd like to, if there's something I wasn't able to explain better, then let me know. I will speak with them. So it's building trust. Then also, how is it female friendly? It's very clean. It has different touches to the lobby, and I can go on and on. What all do we do? The bathrooms are clean. Yes. They smell good. Yes. Smell is very important. Yep. And just to let you know, something that we do, we talked about image, first image. So it's very important, the first impression that you put. The way we do redo our lobbies, the way we remodel them, our focus is contemporary. Contemporary, modern, straight lines. Mm-hmm. That's really important. I'll go and I'll see those grandma couches in waiting lobbies. That's a big no-no for us. That's a big no-no. Because that's what they think then. They take you then as one of those old mechanics. Right. So ours are more modern, and it actually puts it. It delivers a message that we're digital, we're modern, we're advanced, and that's really what it is. So that's just some of the things. And you guys are always welcome to get my number and contact me anytime.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate that. Let's just go around the room, and anything that you didn't cover that you wanted to cover that it's going to put a great bow on this episode. Let's do this, Carl. I'll start with you, Carl.
We really didn't talk about guerrilla marketing, but we did talk about it. You know, that door-to-door thing, that restaurant thing. All of those things where you're just actually just face-to-face with the customers or potential customers. I mean, we walked around neighborhoods putting things in people's doors and stuff like that. And we did touch on that. But all the rest of the stuff, I think we touched on and it at least got out there. And I can't say enough about being professional. And I think Kevin hit it on the head. Being professional. You got to look professional first.
Oh, how important that is. Thank you so much, Carl. Appreciate you being here. Kenny.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we didn't really touch too much on is, Carl said it kind of being in the community. But, one of the things we did is we got pretty heavily involved with the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. We'd go to meetings and things like that way before we opened up. One of the ways I found the shop was taking, talking to the city and taking a ride in a car. They drove me around and showed me all these different locations. Being in the community has always been our huge, huge setup. And, like I said, the Chamber of Commerce and then the poker chips and all that stuff. So,
Kevin, wrap it up for us.
We talked about, just like everyone else said, we've touched the most important points. Something that we do as well, kind of like what Kenny said, yes, Chamber of Commerce and all that. We do it all the time. We do all sorts of food drives and stuff. Something as thinking outside the box that we've also been doing, gentlemen, I'll give you an example. We'd go to good restaurants and we'll tell them that we want to write a blog on you. Absolutely nothing to do with us. We're going to write a blog like the best restaurant or a great burger joint in DFW.
Good idea.
And that blog gets out and it actually gets a lot of reads, it gets a lot of hits on it. And guess what? That's free advertisement for us. And what is in it for us? Really nothing, just exposure. So we do a lot of those things as well. But otherwise, yes, we've talked about everything. Just to the bottom line, I'd say to wrap it up on this would be knowing where you're going. Then once you get that location for the sale, the most important thing is the image, the way you treat the customers. First impression is important, making sure you're on the best game, on your A game. And just once you have those customers, give them a reason to stay, and then just watch your retention. that's really about it. Treat people the way they want to be treated. I always tell people, do not treat them the way you want to be treated, because you may be a different person than most people. So treat them the way they want to be treated.
Great, yeah. great final words. I appreciate that. By the way, a lot of the things that Kevin was talking about, he did cover in an episode that we did together with his guy, Rami. It was episode 683. A lot of Kevin's great strategies were discussed in that episode, 683. Kevin Saeed, 8 Location Integrity, First Automotive Dallas, Fort Worth Metroplex, Carl Hutchinson's 2 locations, Complete Automotive in Springfield, Missouri, and Kenny Weddow, Fine-Tuned Auto, 2 locations, Broomfield and Erie, Colorado. Thanks for carrying the episode. Wow. I owe you guys a drink next time I see you. Enjoy your weekend and happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.